1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. 2 weeks from tomorrow is Election Day, and candidates remain focused on the battleground states. Former President Donald Trump spent most of the weekend in Pennsylvania, says ABC's Perry Russum.
Harris in Georgia this weekend, joined by her pastor, talking about her childhood memories in church.
Do we have leaders in place who understand that in the face of a stranger, one should see a neighbor?
Today, Harris has events in three states with former Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney. Trump heads to North Carolina to survey hurricane damage in Asheville.
An investigation's underway into the leak of apparent American intelligence documents that purported to show potential Israeli military plans. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin is visiting Ukraine for the third time since the war began. And the autopsy results on One Direction singer Liam Payne found he had ingested numerous drugs before he fell to his death from a hotel in Argentina last week. This is ABC.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde wants incumbent Tammy Baldwin to disclose more about her partner's investments and business dealings.
They don't disclose those investments and how much they're profiting from it.
Maria Brisbane is one of the nation's top wealth advisors. Baldwin says Hovde should stay out of her personal life.
And I think I speak for most Wisconsin women that he should stay out of all of our personal lives.
The two debated Friday night. The race is tight and the outcome could tip control of the entire U.S. Senate. Vice President Kamala Harris returns to Wisconsin today. She'll appear in Waukesha County tonight. That's where Republican running mate J.D. Vance campaigned last night. Democratic running mate Tim Walz and former President Barack Obama will be in Wisconsin tomorrow. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. The organization that founded Packers Heritage Plaza has filed suit against the city of Green Bay to stop the removal of the Packers Heritage Trail Monument at the corner of Cherry and Washington. The city wants to make way for a luxury apartment complex, while others claim the site of the monument was meant to be permanent. A temporary restraining order to prevent the removal of the monuments was signed last week. A hearing on the matter was postponed when the city requested a new judge. Inflation, the high cost of housing and rentals, and the pandemic are three reasons more households are using food pantries, says Bob Hornacek, assistant executive director of Paul's Pantry.
Right now, we've seen kind of the real impact of the pandemic. For a while, there were so many government programs that came in. There was so much emergency food shared and flooded into the system. And as that went away, we started to see some of the real impacts.
Paul's Pantry serves over 1,200 households in the greater Green Bay area every week. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
The Packers win a thriller. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers with a 24-22 win over the Houston Texans Sunday, thanks to a 45-yard field goal by their new kicker, 33-year-old Brandon McManus.
It's exciting. What a week. Great group of guys. I'm the oldest on the team by 2 years, so some of them are trying to call me uncle and dad already. But no, super excited to be here. Yeah, what a way to help this team win in my first game here at Lambeau Field.
Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
He's a vet. You can see it. The moment's not too big for him, and obviously that was a big time kick.
Green Bay improves to 5-2. Next, they'll play the Jaguars in Jacksonville. College football, the Badgers able to strip sack Wildcats quarterback Jake Lausch on the way to a 23-3 win at Northwestern. Luke Fickell on his team able to convert turnovers into points.
That's the key element to what we're starting to see from this group, is we're able to take advantage of some of these opportunities that are presented to us.
The Badgers host Penn State on Saturday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It's going to be another nice one today. Partly cloudy, high in the upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy into the low 50s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, becoming breezy, a shower in the afternoon, and cooler with a high in the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, Talk of Green Bay.
Do you have a home you'd like to rent out but don't know where to start? Consider Simple Life Rentals, a property management company partnered with booking sites like Airbnb and Expedia, amplifying your home's exposure to the marketplace. Simple Life Rentals screens guests and creates an owner portal with analytics, rental agreements, and legal guidelines. We give you complete visibility into how your manager's doing, ensuring your property is well-maintained and maximizing your return on investment. Get peace of mind. Simple Life Rentals.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Travel Wisconsin's Logan Rogge, who joins the show to discuss fall hotspots in our beautiful state. And we'll go back to the future with a discussion about Back to the Future.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Set the tone.
I'm grooving to the music, man.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to get started. Welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. I am honored and privileged to have my next guest. You know, out of all the things I can say to you, man, is my friend.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, Mr. Jorge Renner. He is the outgoing vice president of marketing at Civic Media and writer of Right-Leaning Latino Voters Should Not Be a Surprise, a commentary piece published on Civic Media and WAUKradio.com. Hey, good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning, How you doing, Earl. Man? I'm excited to be here in your new fancy new digs over here.
You know, man, as long as we've known each other, even though it's been a short period of time, it seems like we built a relationship that I believe is going to last.
Oh, absolutely.
Outlast us.
Yeah.
I've never had you on the show.
I know. I was thinking about that, too. It's been, you know, I guess I had to have something to, you know, come talk to you about.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about Jorge Renner first.
Well, yeah. You know, I'm originally from Guatemala. I was born there. I moved here when I was in my teens. Political stuff. And spent most of my life in California, you know, kind of made my way there, lived the immigrant dream. And then a couple of years ago, Sage was starting this network, and he, you know, I was like, hey, man, that sounds cool. Put me in, coach.
Well, so a lot of people don't know who Sage is, man. Who is Sage?
Oh, yeah, sorry. So Sage is the founder of Civic Media and, you know, the reason why this whole grand experiment is happening. And, you know, so, it's been a real like privilege to be here and get to work with one of my best friends on building this network and helping out and getting to meet all you guys, you know.
Man, let's talk about, you know, the difference. I ask you this because of ignorance. What is the difference between a Latino and a Hispanic?
Yeah, and you know, it's not necessarily ignorance. I think it's something that even us Latinos struggle with in terms of defining it when we have to check those boxes, you know, is as Hispanic or Latino.
Non-Hispanic and all this kind of stuff.
And, you know, the difference is really that Hispanic means Spanish-speaking, and that includes, like, Spaniards from Spain. Latino is Latin American from the American continent, right? And so I would say that's the key distinction when you hear the two. They're not, I guess it's, you know, it really is a personal choice how, and that's part of the thing we're going to talk about in terms of our identity and how we sort of process our own kind of political awakening.
Well, so I have to ask you, Jorge, man, when you when we talk about this conversation that's going on right now about Latinos, who for the most part, it's kind of in this thought the same way with people of color, that they're going to vote Democrats and Democratic. And so it's kind of a foregone conclusion that if you're Latino, you're voting Democrat. How far off base is that?
It's pretty far off base, actually. You know, I think it's basically it boils down to the fact that every Latino has a different experience, you know, where they come from in their country, especially like the recent immigrants. But even as the generations progress, right, I think it used to be that we would all sort of identify in the U.S. as sort of, you know, kind of in solidarity. And, you know, Democrats were the ones who spoke mostly to our values. But it's not always been the case. It's just sort of been kind of a dormant part of the electorate, the Latino electorate, right? And, you know, I've been basically living it in my own family where, you know, one of them, like my mom does not, you know, she does not agree with the Democrats. And I didn't understand it. And one of the reasons why these two books felt really like, so speaking specifically of Defectors by Paola Ramos and The Latino Century by Mike Madrid, they both look into this phenomenon, and it helps me, they help me understand really from two different perspectives how it is that people that I would consider, you know, supposedly mi gente are voting against, you know, voting, I wouldn't say against our values because our values are our values, but voting in a way that has not traditionally been thought of.
Well, so this book, Defectors. The Defectors.
Yep.
Oh, okay. It's,
yep.
And The Rise of the Latino Far Right and What It Means for America by Paola Ramos.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about, now it says defectors.
Right.
So defectors to me saying that, hey, we should be voting Democrat. Why are you all of a sudden changing your mind?
And that's sort of the take on the book, right? Like it's like historically and, you know, in recent history, Latinos have been a reliable Democratic vote. And I think from her perspective and from the left-leaning perspective is trying to understand, like, why are you defecting? And at the end of the day, many of the things that she discovers in the book is that a lot of how Latin America is very complicated in terms of our history and the colonization that happened. So all of the Latin American countries have to kind of contend with that. And where you're from there, you're taught a certain history that's sort of like from the perspective of, you know, Spain. And it's sort of some actually identify with that history. Like some Latin Americans are very proud of their Spanish heritage. Others are not. You see the way colonization happened, and we identify with sort of native-born Latin Americans, right? So that's sort of some of the complexity she gets into. And I think part of the challenge now is for us to start thinking of Latinos as sort of very mixed and complex block of voters, but also kind of speaking to us as, you know, citizens and as sort of like people who are in this country to help build the country and continue the tradition of democracy, instead of sort of like taking us for granted, which I think happens a lot when parties get sort of, homogeneous, I guess, in some ways.
So the ignorance of people who are non-Latino, non-Hispanic in this nation to the history of Latinos and Spanish-speaking people who are in this nation, we don't have any understanding at all of your nations, what's been going on, what has led to many Latinos and Hispanics leaving their homes and coming to America. All we hear is that there are a bunch of people who are charging the border,
right,
and
right,
they're criminals, and they're just trying to get into this country because they don't like their homeland.
Give us
a little history about what's happening, people can then maybe make an educated understanding of what's happening.
Yeah, you know, the bottom line is nobody leaves their home country just for kicks, right? Like, you don't want to leave your family behind. You don't want to leave everything you've known, and a lot of the times your hand is forced by the political climate or the social context in which you live. You know, a lot of the times there's violence involved. So in recent history, in the last, like, you know, 3-4 decades, a lot of the migration happened because of the destabilizing, you know,
political actions.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there was a lot of, you know, the fear of communism, right? So the United States foreign policy was, you know, saw it fit to intervene in some ways appropriately, in some ways, I guess, arguably, you could say not so appropriately.
Right.
And it was sort of this blanket policy of, like, trying to prevent communism from taking hold in the hemisphere, right? And so in the Southern Hemisphere and in Central America. So a lot of times that resulted in the destabilization of these countries, and you know, political instability led to civil wars, which led to, like, migrants needing to leave because, you know, political violence. In more recent times, it's been a lot of, like, just economic instability that's led to, like, gang violence, and, you know, there's always something that
climate change.
You know, people lose their entire, you know, life with a flood, etc. In this country as well. So a lot of the times that's really what forces the migration. It's not, you know, the sort of, like, whim on a whim people just leave. And so those are the kinds of things that, when you start hearing these news, just sort of process it under that lens, and maybe it gives you a different perspective.
If you're just joining us, I'm joined by Jorge Reyna. He is the outgoing vice president of marketing at Civic Media and writer of Right-Leaning Latino Voters Should Not Be A Surprise, a commentary piece published on Civic Media and waukradio.com. Let me ask you, Jorge, and I think that this is such an important topic and conversation. It's so good to have you on, especially in lieu of the fact that we're into this major election inside of a couple of weeks. And at the root of it, for one side, is so-called immigration.
Yes.
And immigration is whichever side you're on.
Right,
in this,
right. Yeah.
One side clearly fails to tell the truth about immigration and the fact that our nation cannot survive without immigration.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's unfortunate that it's become such a, like, hot button issue, and it's been used to manipulate people's perceptions of a certain group of people, because at the end of the day, migration is either an economic force, right? Labor follows capital, or it's a humanitarian, just necessity, right? Like, people are just trying to survive and escape really terrible circumstances. You know, the promise of America, and as somebody who has lived it and has benefited from it greatly, is that there is an opportunity here. And that's, you know, that's who's not going to want to take a chance in a world where, like, your bet is to stay and possibly get killed or live impoverished. And, you know, coming to a place where there is opportunity for you, it's kind of a no-brainer in some circumstances, right?
All right. 855-752-4842. My guest is Jorge Reyna. He is outgoing vice president of marketing and civic media and writer of the Right-Leaning Latino Voters Should Not Be a Surprise, a commentary piece published on Civic Media and waukradio.com. You can join us on a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
Whoop, whoop.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Standing up for everyday Americans is at the very foundation of who Kamala Harris is. Raised in a middle-class home by a working mother who instilled in her a passion for justice and equality. That's why when Kamala Harris became district attorney, she stood up for our kids, keeping them safe by prosecuting sex offenders. She also pioneered a program to give nonviolent drug offenders a second chance. As president, Kamala Harris will continue the fight for everyday Americans. She's already lowered the cost of your health insurance and medications. Insulin is now capped at $35 for seniors. But there's more to do, because mortgages, rents, groceries, and utility bills are still too high. Harris's plan to fix it? Build more homes to lower prices and make the wealthy and billionaires pay their fair share, so we get a break. All her life, Kamala Harris has been standing up for us. And she doesn't plan to stop anytime soon.
I'm Kamala Harris, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Harris for President.
Hey there, this is Carrie Joy, and I'm going to use a quote to kick off today's Work Money Minute. Comparison is the thief of joy. That fancy quote comes from everybody's favorite 26th president, Theodore Roosevelt. It calls out one of the most common problems that you and me and everybody we know sometimes has about their money. It is envy. You know, whether it's something you see in real life or something you see as you're scrolling on Facebook or Instagram, envy is really hard to turn off. And you know how when you feel it, it just makes everything else around you seem yuckier? Well, here's what I do. A, I give myself a break. It's normal and human to feel envy. B, I say, Carrie Joy, don't believe the hype. You know real life is more complicated than what you're looking at. And C, I stop scrolling for a little bit. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You know, man, that's some pretty fancy. So listen, let's do this. I got to come back in.
Yeah.
Welcome back to a Monday edition of the Earl Ingram Show, Motown Monday. I am joined in studio by my good friend Jorge Reyna. He's the outgoing vice president of marketing to Civic Media and writer of right-leaning Latino voters should not be a surprise, a commentary piece published on Civic Media and WAUKRadio.com. Where can people get access to that article?
If you just go to the homepage for Walk Radio, WAUKRadio.com, and you scroll down and it's under the opinions section. And yeah, you know, I got moved to writing that article because that is the question of the moment, right? Like, how can Latinos be veering right? It is, the New York Times has reported on it. Politico has reported on it. And, you know, it's coming off as a little bit of a surprise to people, but it shouldn't be because, like I say in the piece, our kind of political leanings and political thoughts are influenced largely by our history. And there are people in Latin America who are right wing, right? And they just had to migrate. So it's not, you know, like, I think adjusting that mental picture of what a Latino voter is really important in this election.
You know, what's amazing to me is the fact that Latinos and blacks and people look at us and say, well, you guys are always going to vote Democrat.
Right, right.
And the insanity in that is white America is split down the middle.
Right, yeah, why shouldn't we, yeah, right? It's just, you know.
It just makes no sense.
Yeah.
But I think Calvin has a cut.
Yes.
Hey, Calvin, you have that cut loaded up? All right, let's play that cut.
Mexican American. Yes. What do you think about Trump's border policy?
I love it. I love it. I'm 100% for it.
Do you know anybody that crossed the border without applying for green card?
Oh, yes. Unfortunately, I have met family members that did. Cousins, nephews, nieces.
Because those people might be deported if Donald Trump wins.
That's okay.
How long have they been here for?
Years, like 20, some like 30 years.
And so you think that members of your own family who've been here for 30 years should be deported?
Yes. I mean, they can be deported, but they can also apply to come back again to the United States, but do it the right way.
How do you think they would feel about you saying that?
Oh, they would be very angry. They are angry at me right now. They don't talk to me because I support Trump.
It's lovely to meet you. Thank you so much.
Nice to meet you, too. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you.
Okay.
Jorge, I don't even know where to go with that, man.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing that we all you know, I like I said, I've had to come to terms with the fact that some of, you know, mi gente think that way, and that's okay. I think part of the...
In America, people have a right to think whichever way they want to think.
And I, you know, and part of the challenge is learning how to talk to everybody and being okay with the fact that some of those people don't share your opinion. Like my dad used to say, respeto tu opinión, pero no la comparto. It's like, I respect your opinion, but I don't share it. And it's tough because, you know, when you think about even in a family, like this person is describing, you know, or they're immigrants and there's people in her family who would be deported. They still support the policies that you know, Trump is sort of...
I'll tell you, man, I clearly could not understand why any Latino would, based on how Latinos are being treated.
Right.
You know, and it would, number one, vote Republican under any circumstances.
Yeah.
Since it is the majority of the Republican Party, not all, but the majority, and especially MAGAs,
mm-hmm.
why they would vote right. for Donald Trump.
Yeah, and that's part of the thing that if you look at some of the data that's been published recently, a ton of articles, it's that when they ask Latinos whether they think that Trump is talking about them when he is talking about migrants, a substantial amount, like those born here, a majority thinks he's not talking about me. And even people like Latinos that have migrated recently, they like it's about, I think it's like 51 to 49 think that he's not talking about them. And I think one of the sentiments that I have heard and that, you know, in conversations is that, well, you know, we did it the right way, so these people should do it, you know, and there's sort of that sort of othering. So I think that the sense of solidarity with the migrant is really kind of broken apart a little bit, which, you know, is the kind of thing that we just need to raise the consciousness of, like, whether the promises that you're being made are authentic and they will be followed through by both sides.
So it's, to me, it's no different. It's the matter of economic well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And that's black, white, whoever it
right,
is.
Exactly.
If I'm in a better financial situation than somebody else, in my own mind, I think
it.
I'm better.
You want to protect
right?
it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think yeah. I'm better than the person who's not.
Yeah, hopefully not, but that does play into it, right? I think it's like you got lucky and, well, you know, kind of like, you know, race the ladder behind you kind of thing, which is a mentality for sure. It's not to my, you know, personally, I don't feel that way, but, you know, it speaking to people who feel that way, we just have to be understanding and not put them in a box and pretend that they should be thinking a certain way just because
of
their ethnicity.
But I'll honestly tell you, man, this is a valuable conversation because prior to you,
yeah,
haven't even had the conversation.
Right,
it
right.
Hasn't
yeah,
even,
yeah.
It hasn't even entered into my mind
yeah.
the thoughts of this
yeah,
it's and the magnitude of it.
Well, and I think that the reason it's so important is because demographically, we, you know, Latinos are going to be the majority.
The number one majority.
You know, like
minority.
And,
you are now.
Right. And so this, you know, I think it's important that happens now because I hope that those, you know, in politics will kind of start paying attention to everybody and start to understand where we come from so they can like build better coalitions in the future that,
yeah.
that benefit the majority of people.
You
right?
know, the fact that Latinos are not a majority minority in this nation is still kind of not understood by far too many people in this country.
Right.
And it's time that this discussion again
yep.
is had again and again and again.
Right. Yeah. No, and I think, you know, the important thing is to, you know, try to understand that sort of background as you start to, you know, have these conversations with the people in your community.
All right. My guest is Jorge Reyna. Am I pronouncing it?
Reyna, yeah.
Reyna. He's the outgoing vice president of marketing at Civic Media and right of right-leaning Latino voters. Should not be a surprise. Our phone lines are open at 855-752-4842. It's a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
Let's hear it.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Green Bay Packers and the city of Green Bay can't agree on a new lease for Lambeau Field. The issue is who will pay for about $1.5 billion worth of repairs and renovations. The city wants the team to pay more, while the team wants the city and the stadium district to help. A U.S. Supreme Court ruling last week means the EPA can move forward with new federal carbon pollution standards for power plants. Ashley Radzinski is with the Great Lakes Business Network. She says severe climate events are bad for the U.S. economy.
So we need climate action now to ensure that our economy can be planned, can move forward in a way that's good for business, that's good for communities, that's good for our families.
Power companies had asked the High Court for a pause on work toward tougher standards. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. J.D. Vance was in Waukesha yesterday campaigning for the Trump-Vance presidential ticket. But before then, he made a quick little stop in Green Bay prior to the Packers game. He stopped at Kroll's West, where he had a beer with fans, before moving to a private tailgate at one of the homes backed up to Lambeau. Vice President Kamala Harris will be in Waukesha later today with Liz Cheney for a moderated conversation. Neighborhood associations do more than keep things looking nice. They also help cities develop policy, said Green Bay Alderman Brian Johnson.
So neighborhood associations are the folks that we lean in on to tell us about what are the challenges you're facing, what are the problems that you have, what are the opportunities that we're seeing that we're not taking advantage of. And your neighborhood associations have that deep-rooted understanding of what's happening on every single block within their neighborhood, and then it allows that information to flow up as we make larger policy decisions.
Johnson said they also help with social isolation issues. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. In This Makes a Ton of Sense News, Variety reports that Al Pacino says he took roles in movies that he didn't even understand because he was flat broke. Pacino says one minute he had $50 million and the next minute he had nothing, thanks to his accountant who stole from him and ended up spending 7.5 years in jail. Pacino went back to work, but not for the money he made when he was younger. This makes a lot of sense, as the actor did a lot of not-so-memorable films post-2010. His new memoir, Sonny Boy, is available for purchase this week. If you like music, musicals, you'll love this. Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson are set to play a couple who is part of a Neil Diamond tribute band. Variety reports Song Sung Blue is in the early stages of production. The cast also includes Fisher Stevens, Jim Belushi, and Michael Imperioli. The show is based on a real-life couple who are struggling musicians and formed said tribute band in 2008, calling it Lightning and Thunder. Who else thinks this sounds like an absolute blast? For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It's going to be another nice one today. Partly cloudy, high in the upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy into the low 50s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, becoming breezy, a shower in the afternoon, and cooler with a high in the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
This is the story of the one. As a warehouse manager, her job is to transform chaos into clarity and to see patterns where others see problems. Luckily, she's got a partner who shares her perspective. Grainger offers over 1 million industrial-grade products, backed by real person support and in-depth online resources, so she can tackle every task with precision and turn potential setbacks into streamlined success. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll look back at the weekend's news, get you up to date, and mark early voting in person starting on Tuesday. Be with us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Thank you.
All right. Welcome back to Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. I'm joined by my good friend, Jorge Rena. He is the outgoing vice president of marketing at Civic Media and writer of the right-leaning Latino Voters Should Not Be a Surprise, a commentary piece published on Civic Media and at WAUKradio.com. So, Jorge, let me ask you, man, as you know, we get closer to this election and Republicans are so terrified.
Yep.
That they're terrified that if you bring in all of these different immigrants, they're going to vote Democrat.
Right.
And so that's what makes them automatically think that's the way it's going to be?
Because historically, it's the same thing on the flip side, right? That, like, as Democrats sort of take Latinos for granted, Republicans feel the same way. And, they're afraid that I think they even charge Democrats with doing it on purpose so that I can just sort of like pad the electorate in some
right.
way. You know, some sort of weird thing where it's almost like, you know, we don't get brainwashed the minute we cross the border. And then we have a lived experience here in the U.S. as well. And that shapes our perceptions, right? And I think, our political life is shaped by our economic life and by our culture. And, you know, there's a big role the evangelical church plays in sort of like educating Latinos and sort of veering them towards the right, just like it is in the evangelical church in white communities, right? That has a lot to do with it as well. So it's not a certainty that people, even those who come illegally, will not have values that resonate with the Republicans. That's something that Mike Madrid, the other book that I read that's called, that I talk about in the piece, it's that sense of assimilation. Some people assimilate in different ways. And so that fear that it's being instilled on people that because brown people are going to come and they're just going to become Democrats for automatically is unfounded and it's, you know, not supported by the data. And it's also just, as you can see now, it's starting to come to the surface a little bit.
Or, hey, does it bother you that Latinos are being scapegoated as being hardened criminals
right.
and are coming here to rape and molest and to take jobs and they've made you guys out to be aliens from a different planet.
Right, yeah. You know, it did 2016, like the 2015 election, that was a rough time for me personally. When I lived in California, it felt very personal to be, you know, sort of like, you know, called out and singled out that way. But I think this time around, I guess maybe my skin's a little thicker and I started to see it more for what it is. And I can sort of use that as momentum to try to get our side of it out there. Right. I think the fact that these books are being written and these subjects are being talked about openly is important because it sort of helps demystify that and diffuse that sort of charged language where we're getting accused. Just to your point, I still, no joke, I gotta like mute the political ads, which there are a lot of here. You know, it's like, oh, this one guy raped and killed all these
yeah.
people. It's, you know, the outlier, right? They don't talk about all of the Latinos that are here that have helped
right.
to build up the economy, that have, you know, and not just in the sectors where you'd normally associate us with, and, you know, the service sectors, but in all sectors, like myself, we are here contributing. That's why we came, right? Like, you know, I was young, I didn't have a choice, but being here, I buy into the kind of like the promise of America.
Do you feel any kinship with people at the border?
I do, absolutely. I think for me personally, I think, again, it's migration is either an economic issue or a humanitarian issue. And the humanitarian issue is, it's sort of dire in a lot of like, the countries that people are fleeing. Like, there's a lot of gang violence, there's a lot of, you know, just sort of like a darker undercurrent of things, as you know, shaping up in Latin America. There's always been, and people, you know, I don't know. I don't fault them. There's no like sort of like big conspiracy of like organizing people to try to just you know send migrants here just to bug Americans. You know, like people have genuine needs that are not being met where they are.
Do you think, Jorge, that if you look at Central America and Latin America and the resources, natural resources that they have, like coffee and sugar and
right.
and other things, that they don't have control over their natural resources, and nations like ours can control how much the resources are sold for globally. Does that have some impact on the outcome of those nations?
I mean, that's pretty much at the crux of a lot of the economic instability, right? Like in Latin America, historically, the people who control the means of, you know, just sort of agriculture, coffee plantations, et cetera, are not, you know, it's not like here where there's a lot of small businesses. There are a lot of small businesses that like people start, but that are entrepreneurial, but it's sort of like big industry is owned by very few people. And that creates a sort of economic imbalance that, you know, it's very pronounced in some countries, other countries not as much, right? Because it's also not homogeneous, right? Chile has a very sort of advanced economy. Argentina sort of does, but keeps messing it up. Brazil, like all of, you know, every country has its own history. And I think that is what shapes the migrant flow, you know, whether they see a need for it or not. So it's complex, right? Is it like, you know, with everything?
So, Jorge, resources aren't nationalized even in America.
Right, exactly. Right? Yeah, it's all, you know, I think if anything, that what happened in the 60s, 70s, all the way through the 90s, the sort of the opening up, the liberalization of the economy, of the markets, right? That's been undoubtedly to the good, because it's sort of like, you know, rising tide lifts all boats, but it doesn't lift all boats equally. So you have to understand that there are sort of like, just like here, there are winners and losers in the economy. In Latin America, there are also winners and losers, but there are countries that do not have the safety net that the U.S. does. So that's where a lot of the really pronounced like inequalities happen.
So the United States has power,
right,
and economic power and global power. So do you think that our nation would be better suited if it started addressing the issues in Latin America to stop the flow of immigration? I mean, you can't stop people who see who are willing to cross deserts with only the clothes on their back.
Right.
But if things improved in their countries, I mean, it takes a lot to leave your homeland. Yeah.
Well, you know, and I think the thing that you have to think about is that this problem didn't happen overnight, right?
Right.
Or even in the last 5 years, or even the 10. These are all sort of like dynamics that have been playing out over like the last century as like, you know.
Wait.
Yeah.
I hate to interrupt you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you mean to tell me this didn't just start under Biden and Harris?
No, absolutely not. Yeah, unfortunately not. No, and that, you know, and maybe we're seeing sort of like the exacerbation of it because of a lot of these policies. But at the end of the day, you know, it is a complex issue. You can't just also go to Latin America and be like, here's a bunch of money, fix yourselves, because the infrastructure is not there politically. The infrastructure economically is not there. There are, you know, this whole like sort of like continental and probably global like lean to the right is a response to you know, a lot of these things that just haven't been working for people. Like people are just like, well, you keep telling me that you're gonna do something good for me and you're not. You know, we're gonna try the other side. Unfortunately, that's a lot of what's happening with the liberalization. The sort of the push against, you know, globalization, quote unquote, and the sort of tilt even in European countries, right, to the right. Like France just had a scare.
Right.
Germany, like Austria, just, you know, the right part, the sort of left, what is it, extreme right party gained seats. So at the end of the day, there's a lot about it with economics and opportunity, and people are feeling like they're being left out. And that's really what is at the core of the Trump message. Like, you're being left out. I'm going to make sure you know, Harris is doing a really good job of trying to address that. Hopefully it's getting through.
So I'm not just talking about dumping money in Latin America. What I am talking about is that at some point in time, our nation, which kind of helped create the atmosphere for what is taking place there. Long term, it has to be part of the solution.
Right. Yeah.
It can't be to just leave it the way it is.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's going to be an endless stream.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, we're all Americans, right? Like, in the continent of America includes South, Central, and North America.
That's correct.
And we're like adjacent neighbors. So at the end of the day, yes, hopefully there's enough political will in the U.S. that will develop over time to understand this and sort of diffuse the emotional sort of like, you know, negative connotation of immigrants. Because at the end of the day, like you mentioned earlier, the U.S.
needs
economy
the migrants.
And so most people will tell you that's the case. And so the fact that there's, it's a very charged topic. It's not by accident. I think it's obviously they see that helps sort of move some hearts and minds. And as you heard with that lady, in the clip, that it's, there are people who identify with that, and they're betting big on that.
Well, yeah, Jorge, I just think this conversation, as you know, I've learned more about what's happening in this short period of time with you about the migrants at the border than I have my entire life.
Well,
it shows
that,
the ignorance. It just shows the ignorance.
Well, I think
because it's not been an issue,
right.
And if it wasn't for election time, it wouldn't be an issue.
Right. Well, and it's also, we're in Wisconsin, where you're not border adjacent except from Canada, and
right.
Canadians are not invading from the north, so yet. No, I'm just kidding. But I think it's important to bring it to light because migrants also work here in the dairy farms and all that, and so it's going to become more important as time goes on because I think that labor force is going to be needed.
Does it bother you, man, that we see that unfortunately there are children of migrant workers working in slaughterhouses? And they've eased the child protections in order to take advantage of migrant children. I think that's absolutely unacceptable.
Yeah,
man.
And that's sort of the darker side of these forces, right? Where it's like, unfortunately, there's always going to be somebody that's going to try to take advantage of a situation. I hope those kinds of things are addressed and just like in terms of the humanitarian aspect of these things, right? But it's going to take some political will and some political sort of like coalitions, like people in Wisconsin just being like, hey, that's not okay. I think at the end of the day, though, I do have faith in the sort of the power of democracy here in the U.S. Many of us in Latin America come from countries where democracy was, a nice thought, but never quite materialized. And even when it did, the corruption, it's just endemic in many of our countries. Unfortunately, although many people are working really hard, just like here, to make it work, I think in the U.S. that there's enough of a system that I'm optimistic, not Pollyannish about it, but I think that if citizens come together, you can build a better place.
Even in the face of 2025 and those who say if Donald Trump gets elected, democracy as we know it will disappear.
Hopefully it's a complicated thing, right? I think that. I feel like in Wisconsin, the state went through it a little bit, and it was 2010 where it's been a long slog out of it, but Democrats just sort of have been organizing and raising consciousness here in the state, and I think that's what can happen. Unfortunately, whether he wins or loses, we're still gonna have, we need to just have a democracy.
All right, 855-752-4842. My guest is Jorge Reyna. He is the outgoing vice president of marketing at Civic Media and the writer of Right-Leaning Latino Voters Should Not Be a Surprise, a commentary piece published on Civic Media and WAUKRadio.com.
Intelligent, yes, she juggle in Ari. Everywhere me go, me never left for a tally. You say that I mistook me at the Ram Dance, man. Ram it in a dance, all in a nation. You never know, say that I mistook me at the Boom Shop. I take my never lay down flat in a one card going back. So you say that I'm a Yankee, I go reaching at the top.
Your
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
In the market for a home loan? It's time to meet Kristen Ambos, the top 1% of loan originators in the U.S. and the number one female loan officer in Wisconsin for 2 years running. With over 20 years experience, Kristen and Point Mortgage Corporation are here to serve all of your lending needs, from conventional to FHA, USDA, and VA loans. Plus, with their rate match guarantee, if they can't beat your pre-approved rate, they'll pay you $500. Call Kristen Ambos today at 920-606-1156 and let her and Point Mortgage make your homeownership dreams come true.
Mino and the Mayor.
We have with us Beckett Kay, who is a 9-year-old podcaster. Who's your favorite player then? I mean, you like
on the Ravens?
In general. In general. Let me guess.
I know what you're going to say, and I'm not going to like it.
It's Patrick Mahomes.
No.
Go ahead.
I don't like your sarcasm.
We're talking in prank, too. All right. I happen to like
it's
you guys.
Justin Jefferson.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Good old Shakira.
All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. I got it, 855-752-4842. I'm joined by my good friend Jorge Rena, and let's go to the phone lines. Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call, Earl. See you in a few minutes. Hey, I wanted to ask your guest give me his opinion on the quote-unquote wide open border of the Southwest, something that I think is totally made up and manufactured, but I wanted to get your guest's own viewpoint on that. I believe it's a false comment.
Do you mean like whether it's a real thing or not?
Yes.
Yeah, I think
it's a real thing or not.
You know, I think that it's you know, political propaganda tends to be very good at reducing things to a name and a clip and just sort of a tag. And the open border thing elicits, you know, all sorts of bad things in a world where you're buying into the fear-mongering. And so as far as I can tell and as far as I know, you know, nobody in the Democratic Party, you know, advocates for that. I think, you know, it is a bit of a made-up thing to try to, incite people's emotions and people's fears, kind of bundled up with all the other language that's already out there, right? And I think we should just kind of continue to speak the truth and just sort of diffuse these little landmines that are being set up all over the place with language.
Indeed. I would like to also see us put economic production numbers. You know, what exactly does the migrant community do? Not for America, but for, you know, maybe Canada and others, as far as productivity and, quite frankly, you know, they're critical labor. They're very, very important. We would be in a completely different bad place, I think.
Right. You know, and unfortunately, a lot of that is because it's not available because, you know, illegal, it's a sort of illegally, I guess, people who got here illegally are not sort of necessarily counted in the economic productivity. But, you know, it just sort of stands to reason that if there's tens of millions of people here that are migrants and they are all, you know, contributing, it is a significant contribution from both of us that are here legally and that are here undocumented.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Cassandra from Middleton. Good morning to you, Cassandra. You say what?
Question for your guest. And I just want to get his perspective on resources that are available. If you look to the places where many of the migrants are traveling to, they are just overwhelmed. There's not enough housing. There's limits on employment. The resources there. I am pro-immigration, but, you know, do the migrants think about the people in those communities and exactly, you know, some of the pressures that's being placed on the systems and the resources?
You know, I don't think that's sort of part of the calculus of leaving, but I do think that that is an important message that should be delivered when we're speaking about what the U.S. can do to sort of help this crisis. It also make sure to communicate that to in the home countries, right? Like, it's not it's not what you think it is, because that is a reality also. Like, even if you get in, it's going to be very hard. And to your point about, you know, the resources being sort of tapped out in the communities in which they land here, it's also, you know, at the end of the day, it is still a better situation than the countries that most people are leaving. So, you know, it's the kind of thing where you have to be conscious about the messaging as well. And at the end of the day, it's really just about increasing economic opportunity for everybody, so that you know, the pressures are a little eased a little bit, if that makes sense.
Sure, it does. But I just hope the message get across is that the migrants, I empathize as to why they're leaving.
Yep.
However, not everyone is as enlightened.
Right.
And they just see that my tax money is going
right,
not to American citizens. I've been paying into the system for decades.
Right.
And Cassandra, thank you very much for the call. Hey, Jorge, man, we got to get you on next week.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's a million texts.
Okay.
We didn't get a chance to get
all right,
to.
Well, we can keep getting into it, yeah.
Yeah, well, so we got to get you in for an extended
bring more
period
music.
Of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, music, but we need you.
Yeah.
All right, I want to thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Jorge. Thank those before you. Thank you to listening to the audience. Up next, Jane Madner. Madner on air and Greg Bach. And
let's dance it out, Earl.
An absolutely spectacular balmy 80 degree day. Thank you, Calvin. See you guys on tomorrow.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I've got Michael Sozan, Senior Fellow for Democracy Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're going to discuss Trump's attacks on democracy. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.